Father God, we want to stand under the light and the warmth of your word. We want to find ourselves serious about the things of the Lord. God, we have gone through the depths. We have, God. We've dragged you through our muddy waters. And now we ask you, God, as we know the truth, to set us free. God, as we look today at where we're going, help us to count the cost and to be happy, not just about the journey, but about the destination. Be with us, God, and if there's anybody here that does not know you and did not know these things, may this information turn a light on that they never expected to be turned on. Joy of the Lord be our strength. For Christ's sake, amen. John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. The Lord Jesus, doing the speaking, talking to his weary, hurting, wandering apostles. It's about 2.5 years into ministry. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever done ministry. Yesterday, I was talking with one of my brothers, and he kind of helped this kid out, this young kid that he knew from his old neighborhood, and brought him here to Florida and got him a job and work with him and kind of got involved in life. And kind of there's this divide that's happened and kind of makes you go, man, that's why I don't help people, because every time I help somebody, that's what they do. That's why I don't do this, because every time it happens, that's what they do. Well, imagine doing that as the apostles did for almost 3 years. Every single day. I want you to think about the ministry that these apostles have gone through. They go from one town to another where they either want to kill the Lord or kill them. He helps them. He blesses them. He watches over them, and they curse him. When things go right, they take all the credit for it. When things go wrong, they blame him. They blame them. They get sent out two by two, and people want to stone them. And they're weary. And they're tired. They're on the edge of ready to give up, wondering, when is this going to end? You know, we've heard about the escapes. We've heard about heaven. You've told us we go to heaven. But I'm afraid I'm going to do something so stupid before I get there that I'm not even going to get there. And we even use Moses as our example. Well, look at Moses. Moses did all that for those people in Israel. You guys that know the Bible, you know what I'm talking about. He led those people through the wilderness for how many years? God told him to do one thing, speak to the rock that it would flow water. And he struck the rock. And because he disobeyed God one time, he didn't get a chance to go into the promised land. I'm afraid. Every day I feel like I'm that close. I think even the Boragenes, if you guys know what I'm talking about, the sons of thunder, leaving one of the cities of Samaria, they said to the Lord, you want me to call down fire from heaven and consume the whole town? And he grabbed him. He said, what are you talking about? Don't you know what manner of spirit you're of? The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Even they were on the edge of messing up, and we hurt ourselves and feel discouraged and look at what we did the last day. That's what these guys are going through. And here's what the Lord says to them. And for our sake, more important to us, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Wow. to believe that promise, to understand that, let me tell you what the apostles did to themselves, the same thing that we did to ourselves, the same thing that I tried to, and I'll just be honest, I tried to trick you a little bit. Moses got to heaven. It's just a promised land he didn't see. We might lose some of our reward for the stupid things that we've done, but we're not going to lose heaven. When Christ is in your heart, his grace will cover you so that in the end of your days, you will stand before him, and at the judgment, the book will be opened, and yes, the things that you've done, he's going to say, yeah, you know, that was not the Lord. You know, that was not God, the angel might say to you. All right. But then all of a sudden, they're going to come out with this other angel, and he's going to come out, and he's going to go, here's your reward now. And he's going to give you all this stuff. He might show you your mansion at the Lord's beginning. He says, and you're going to say, wait a second, I don't deserve all that. He says, I know, that's what grace is all about. That's why it's grace and truth. But we deceive ourselves, like the apostles. We tell ourselves, I'm just a mess up. I can't do nothing. I can't even serve in the children's ministry the right way, and get down on ourselves. And the Lord says, don't let your heart be troubled, man. Let me paraphrase in modern English for you. I got this. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And that language, even that language was so weird to them. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, a house is a little small thing. A mansion is a real big thing. And the apostles, you know, they were so discouraged. Maybe they either didn't pick up on it, or maybe they didn't. Later on, they're like, what's he talking about? On a house and mansions? How's he going to have a house with mansions in it? Mansions, maybe, have a house and a house. That's how they were. Always talking later on. And sometimes he said, I perceive what you guys are saying. What are you talking about now? Nothing. By this time, after 3 years of ministry, they're like, no, it's cool. They even spoke up a little bit, and just reading on a little bit, Thomas said to him, Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. Again, paraphrasing, but he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And since Thomas piped up, well, Philip can say something too. Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Give me your attention, please. Let me explain this to you. You seasoned saint, you've been walking with the Lord, say, more than 5 or 6 years. You've been serving God faithfully. You love the Lord. And the craziest thing happens. You look back, and your fleshly mind and the worldly wisdom starts peppering your faith with lies. Well, maybe that wasn't God. Maybe that was going to happen anyway. And then you, all of a sudden, you start getting like Philip and Thomas and say, God, if you would just show me a sign. Show you a sign. Have I not been with you long enough? Have you not seen? You that are parents here, I don't know if you've ever seen a child being born. You young kids, you don't get this yet, but when you see a child get born, you're just like, no way that just happened. You look at your wife in awe. Yeah. If you don't cry in some way, maybe not with tears from your eyes, if you don't at least cry in your spirit, looking at the birth of your child, then you ain't saved. I'm telling you, no question about it. You cannot look at a child being born and go, phew. And that's the whole point, I think, that the Lord was saying to his apostles, don't forget what I've done already. Don't forget that. especially when your kids get a little crazy when they get older, and I guess you guys that have teenagers especially. He says, don't forget. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't forget the works that I've done. As a matter of fact, he goes on to tell me afterwards, listen, you're going to do even greater works than these. Now, when he says greater, he doesn't mean better, because there's nothing greater than salvation, but he meant greater in number. His ministry was 3 years. Dude, we got a lot longer than 3 years to do ministry. We're going to bring more people to the Lord than the Lord himself brought to him in his days that he walked the earth, meaning. Come on, he says. Don't forget the fire. And then, leaving your place here, going now to chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, as we walk through the death and destruction, as we look to a point in time, maybe 1,000 years in our future, the Lord's resurrection, his glorification, and then his return. The rapture of the church, the judgment, the great white throne judgment, and now we come to the millennial reign of Christ. We hinted at it last week, and this week, John, still being caught up with an angel, says, verse 1, chapter 21, the book of Revelation, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" Please give me your attention again. This new earth, somehow, in case you didn't know, this little bit of science that I read that I didn't know, but I read it, and I don't want to act like I know it, and you guys are dumb for not knowing that I read it. But apparently, the idea of an atom, the smallest matter known to man, is in itself to a scientist a mystery, because they're positively charged protons in it. And positively protons charged like a magnet are supposed to push away. So why an atom stays together is still a mystery, except when the scientists get together and start to split the atom, and the energy that is created from splitting atoms is where we get our atom bomb. That is the type of power that is in even one smallest atom, which none of us have seen. But apparently, God pulls the charge and he disintegrates the earth and the heavens. It's gone. The words that he uses here of renewal are making things new. They're not of brand new, but they are almost like taking clay. When clay hardens, like it's a pot, it can only be redone if it's smashed, ground to powder, and new water added to it. Then he can make it new. It's not the creating of something new, as the Lord and only the Lord can do. It is the renewing of something. So he restores the heavens and the earth. He makes everything new. Now, with this newness of life, apparently there's no need for sea, which means that our bodies, which are 60% made up of water, our blood, which is 90% made up of water, they're going to act completely different. Our mind and our bodies will be made completely new. There will be something. You guys know there's three dimensions that we exist in. There's height, depth, and width. Right? Well, apparently there's going to be new dimensions that we don't yet understand. Like, if I was two dimensions and you just see height and width, you wouldn't understand depth. So when you put your finger through my body, you'd be like, what is that? That's called depth. Well, I understand height and I understand width. I'm two dimensions, but you don't understand depth. Well, apparently God's got more dimensions that we still don't understand, not even close, and he's about to bust them out. Now, I found something contradictory in the Bible here, and I didn't know how to explain it, but I will point it out. It says there's no more crying, but then he says God wipes away every tear. If there's no more crying, how can he wipe away every tear? And I read in a commentary, Chuck Missler said, the tears that he wipes from you are the missed opportunities that you realize when you get to heaven. You get to heaven, and although there's be a great joy from being there, you will realize the missed opportunities and the people that needed you that you weren't there at the time. And there's something about wasted talent, missed opportunities that will make you cry, but that God will wipe those tears from your eyes and say, I got this. I'll make it right. Don't worry. I can do that. There's great joy and comfort here. So many times I talk to people about their family members that have passed away, but they didn't know the Lord, or it's like God's going to wipe those tears away and say, don't worry. I got this. Great comfort. Verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. The Lord Jesus, during the speaking, because he's the only one that sits on the throne, says to John, I want you to write these things down, and I don't want you to forget. The devil is a liar and the father thereof, but I tell the truth. And these words that I speak to you are faithful and true. If you are here right now and you're hearing me speak these words are faithful and true. They're not my opinion. They're not some storybook we're reading out of. These are life-changing words of life that are faithful and true. The Bible does not contain truth. The Bible is truth. Amazing. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of waters of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, last week we looked at almost every single word there. And you know what we saw? We saw the apostle saying to the people, you were sodomites, you were homosexuals, you were liars. And then he says, but you were redeemed. But you were redeemed. He's not talking to the people who did those things. He's talking to the people who are doing those things. He's trying to get them one last time. Now remember, we're reading a book of prophecy. It's in the future. If you are here and you're involved in these things, this curse is yet to pass. There's still time. Come out from among them and be separate. All of us did that. You're not sitting here and you're not alone and everybody else here is holy, but you're dirty. We're all filthy, washed clean by the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb has washed us all clean. There's not one of us here, not one of us, that cannot relate to each other in the filth of the things that we have done and are doing. And God says, I got this, and I'll take it from you, and I'll wash you clean. And I'll use you. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me. Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, some would say that jasper stone is a diamond, but there's no proof to that. It doesn't say that in the Bible. That jasper stone is a stone yet unseen, with hues and colors and radiance described. That is amazing. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And just so you know, what he's starting to do now is he's remaking heaven. And we're going to look at the size and the colors and all that. So as I say heaven and earth. And here it is. He's making this place for his people to dwell. He says, the first thing I want you to see is with every foundation, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on there, lest we forget as Christians that our faith is a Jewish faith. Lest we forget that God's people, his chosen, were the nation, were the tribe of Israel, the nation of Israel. And that we are blessed to be grafted in as Gentiles. Lest we find ourselves like the world, hating Jews as the world hates us, Christian. The city that we're going to dwell in, the foundation around it has the name of the children of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 kids. There they are. Three gates on the east, verse 13. Three gates on the north. Three gates on the south. Three gates in the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So now the number 12 comes up again. And just so you guys know, the number 12 exists about 30 times in the book of Revelation. There's something with that number. It's almost like the number 7. And the number 7, number 12, it's a really weird thing because it speaks of this physical as well as spiritual completion. However, the 12 apostles' names will be on the 12 foundations inside the city. And I wondered if Judas was replaced by Paul or something like that. I don't know. That's kind of an interesting thing. Certainly you don't expect Judas' name to be there, but it's his city. I guess he can make it how he wants. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure its city, its gates, and its wall. The city laid out as a square. Its length is as a great wall, its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 140 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper. Before we start reading that, let me explain to you what he says. He says the thing, its height and depth are the same. So basically, he's describing a cube. And going by the pattern that he's describing, just so you have a visual perspective, it's about the size of the moon. Now, he goes to great lengths to describe the size of it. Now, some would say, estimating how many people were on the earth from that time to this, and the number of people going percentage basis, which is a complete guesstimate. For a rounded number, let's say, and again, it's a guesstimate, unknown, that there have been 20 billion people. Oh, I thought that was my phone in the office. I'm like, I never heard it out here before. There have been 20 billion people that have received Christ Jesus as their Savior. We're using a rounded number. Where'd you get that? We're using a rounded number going by how many people the Bible says were on the earth, will be on the earth, so forth and so on. Then dividing it by four and so forth and so on. You can ask me later on, I'll give you. But if there were 20 billion people that received Christ as their Savior, going by the size of this square, measuring it out, now, again, because the surface of the earth is where we dwell, and he's describing a cube, given the dimension of height, breadth, and width now, each person would have about a square mile in this cube. That's kind of cool. You think to yourself, wow, man, if it's the size of the moon, how could 20 billion people live in it? Because We're not talking about the dimensions that are flat in surface. Our nature doesn't think that because we think about the earth and we just live on the top of it. 70% of it is covered with water anyway. Here, there's no sea. So now going by this cube about the size of the moon, cutting it up into sections that you can dwell somehow. Think about a Rubik's cube about the size of the moon, and each cube is about a mile. It's pretty cool when you think of it like that. Just opens up the doors of your mind to think crazy things. And please, again, if you're new, I am not even close to delving into the depths of these, meaning of these. And there are so many scripture verses that confirm these things. I am, when I tell you, I am rudimentarily cutting the surface of this thing and asking you, hopefully I'm just opening the top and saying, hey, jump in, go look at it yourself. I am not covering this in any detailed way, nor am I exhausting this at all. This is way beyond my understanding of scripture. I'm brand new at this thing. 20 years, I feel like a baby reading this book. Okay, and then he goes to describe what this thing looks like, what this city looks like that God's going to have us dwell in. The construction of its wall was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the city was adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Guys, there is no words in the tongue of men to describe a city. We live our lives for money, sex, and power. And the only thing power will get us is more sex and more money. To live in a city whose ultimate power dwells among you, and you're his best friend, whose very streets are gold, that you don't have to worry. Ugh. Gold is the most precious metal, the most desired metal on the planet. And here it's the street. And we're not talking about vermeil. We're not talking about 14 carat. We're talking about so pure it looks clear.
Tony's gonna have a big chain.
Tony, what's up? What kind of chain you gonna have there? They're gonna be like, why are you walking around with that cement around your neck? Tony be out in his backyard tapping on the street. Ch-ch-ch-ch. I know we're in heaven, but I still like this stuff. Look what he says in 22, and this is so germane. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Guys, everything that we're doing here is a picture. Meeting in a church, meeting in a temple, reading the Bible, all these things are prophecies in our life of things to come. There's no more church. There's no more temple in heaven. We don't need it anymore. We are looking now, the Bible says, through this hazy glass, hoping for a picture of our King, hoping to see a picture of our own selves' image back at us. But then we will see as we are seen, and we will know as he is known. We won't have to wonder about if the Word of God has me to do this or the Word of God has me to do this. Was this what God wants for me? Because I was thinking about moving here or getting this job there or doing this. God, I was thinking about going to this. I don't even know if you're going to need a phone. God, I was thinking about going to Jupiter to start a whatever, and God would be like, yeah, I'm in that one. Perfect. Imagine getting up in the morning knowing you're doing exactly what God wanted you to do. Is there a greater joy than that? That's heaven in of itself, not tormenting yourself, wondering if I'm making the right decision. I'm so tired of that alone. Wondering if I'm doing a smart, God, should I do this? God, should I do that? God's like, do it. You sure? Can you imagine that, right? Are you sure, God? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. He is the light, guys. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor unto it. Its gate shall be not shut at all, day or night. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, but there shall be no means entered anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So apparently, they're still going to be like nations. There's still going to be people living in kingdoms with kings. But I tell you, I got a glimpse. Some years ago, me and my wife went on a cruise, and we were going through Jamaica. And we went into the stores in Jamaica, and they had Christmas music playing. Like, real Christmas music. Like, Glory to the Newborn King. And I remember walking in going, we ain't in America no more, baby. Because now, if you do that, the ACLU might get you for some kind of political intrigue. If you have a Bible out, you're a bigot. Because you are. But here, apparently, there'll be nations. And they'll be run to God. And that these kings will bring gifts to God. I can't even imagine it. Think about this. Imagine all the nation of Russia born again, loving God like we love God here. I told you, I had this weird thing happen. I went to I went with Bentley to Rio in Brazil when he fought there. And I, as an American, I felt, there was this weird thing that happened to me. Now, you guys are world travelers, probably like, dude, of course, but I'm not a world traveler. And I went there and I found out there's like a whole nation of people. First of all, I found out Brazil is really big. Second of all, I found out that this whole nation of people, they don't really care that if they ever go to America or not. They don't really care if they don't ever speak English. There's doctors and nurses and lawyers, and they all speak Portuguese. And they're not like stupid because of it. And I think growing up so sequestered in America, I had this idea that everybody wants to come here. Oh, if you live in China, you, of course, you want to go to America. If you live in Brazil, of course, you want to come here. You know. And I think that seeing this was like short circuit my brain. I was like, oh, this is weird. Don't these people know I'm from America? And for like 2 or 3 days, I was alone. He had all these interviews and stuff to do. And I was like walking to stores, and people didn't speak English. And like, I didn't want to talk to nobody. I was like, I think I'm just going to hang out in my hotel room. I went on the beach. I wanted to sit and read the sun was just coming up. It was one morning. I went on the beach to read my Bible and spend time in prayer because my brain was totally short-circuited. I'm telling you, it was really weird. And this guy comes up to me. Do you want an umbrella? I told you that story. And I was like, how much? And I take out a $10 bill, and he goes, that'll do just fine. I was like, 10 bucks, go ahead, take it. And he puts it down. I'm sitting there for hours. I was on the beach. The sun's up, people around me. Later on, we all went to this money exchange, and I found out reales were like 3 to 1. So I just paid 30 bucks to have an umbrella. It's like, wow, this place is just like America. 30 bucks for 3 hours of an umbrella. That was nice. It's like looking for the dude. Hey, how's it going? You want a chair? $100, you know? I was in a hotel, and I only brought like 4 days worth of clothes because I just keep wearing them, but I changed. So it's like the fifth or sixth day I was there as I started to stink pretty bad. But I didn't want to go walking around the streets looking for a laundromat. So I just called up the hotel, and the guy in the hotel spoke decent English. So I was like, hey, I got to wash my clothes. I kind of stink. But, oh, yeah, we'll send somebody. I was like, listen, I don't want them dry cleaned. He was like, yeah, no problem, no problem. So later on, I went, we did some stuff with the weigh-ins, and then I came back, and all my clothes was dry cleaned. It's all hanging up in my room, and I was just like, I looked at the bill, it was like 300 reales. That's 100 US dollars to do my laundry. I was like, well, that trip cost me money. I didn't speak the language. And I felt too much. I'm not used to feeling so much. Verse 1, chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, it was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were the healing of the nations, and there will be no more curse. Ha ha. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They don't need a lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Please understand, this is insane. So there's no sea, but there's this river of water. And because this thing is a cube and it starts at his throne, I wonder how it runs through. And there's trees that the leaves, like one is like prime rib. I like the prime rib tree. Because nobody's eating meat anymore up in heaven. That's only the blessing on earth. But the curse is gone. So it's like, I'm not going to want to be a workaholic. Some guys aren't going to want to be like lazy. You're ladies, you're not going to have that time once in a while where you hate everything and everybody. The curse is gone. It's gone. The curse upon the earth, where the Bible says that all creation groans. Listen to me. No more mosquitoes. The trees that lift their hands for redemption, the grass that grows up to God. The grass in heaven is like the grass in Maine. How many of you guys never been up north and felt the grass up north? Never, never. Guys, this is insane. Here, our grass, it's weed. It's like steel wool. You go up north, we were just in Maine, the grass that's growing, it's the softest. You just lay down on it, you're like, oh my goodness, what is this? I mean, I was on my hands and knees, crawling, taking pictures of these little tiny purple with the camera. It's like, man, this is so soft. Curse is gone. And we laugh and we joke about it, but let me tell you what. Any married couple, you've been married any longer than 4 or 5 years, you're ready for that curse to be gone. I cannot wait to be able to love my wife without any reservation, without any apprehension, without just unity, oneness, that bliss. Now, I know some of you guys are, wait a second, in heaven there's no marriage and all that stuff. Listen, don't tell me. I've been with that woman for 26, almost 27 years now. And all this work that we've put in and are going to put in until we breathe our last, and then get to heaven and go, oh, I don't even know you. Sorry, thanks, Annie. No way. No way. No, no. I almost cursed. No way. No way. No way. She has put up with me, and now she's going to get to dwell with the me without the curse. No more curse. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. Verse 6. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. You already said that, but I'm saying it again. Why? Don't forget I'm telling you the truth. This ain't Walt Disney. This ain't no storybook. This is real. This is every dream that every human being ever had. This is faithful and it's true. We joke and we laugh and we have fun, But life is hard and it beats us down. And how we long to hear our Lord and Savior. I remember the first time reading the book of John, the 14th chapter, and going, God, are you serious? Tell me it's the truth. I want to believe so bad. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I'm going to take you where I am. Promise, promise. Don't lie to me. I don't lie. Faithful and true. Now, he said that 2,000 years ago. If he said that 2,000 years ago, and it took God 6 days and one day to rest to create the heaven and earth we have now, you want to tell me what it's going to look like after 2,000 years of God preparing? Faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants these things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. He heard these things and was so blown away. The apostle John, who walked with the Lord for those years, who has so far lived 90 plus years at the writing of this, who has seen miracle upon miracle. He took a glimpse of the holy city, heard the words of the angel, said it's faithful and true, and he dried. Couldn't take it. He was like, oh, God. Is it true? And he stood before the angel. And you know what the angel said to him? Don't do that to me. I'm your fellow servant and your brethren, the prophets, those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Don't ever worship a man, an angel. God. That's the only, even in heaven, where there'll be beings that we don't know. Do you understand that a new order is going to be created? We're not going to be the top of the food chain anymore. We're going to get there and we're going to look at these animals flying with heads and seven things. No, that's cool. You didn't see nothing like that in Earth. Maybe you're going to go out there and there'll be a brontosaurus in your backyard and you'll be scratching his head and he'll be rolling over. Where'd you get that from? I'm glad you asked. Isaiah chapter 11, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Oh, man. You guys want to do something really cool? I want you to look up, what's that dude's name that does the lion stuff? What's his name?
Kevin Richardson.
There's a guy named Kevin Richardson on YouTube. As long as he lives, and I guarantee his days got to be numbered. This dude has this thing with lions. I'm telling you, it's sick. Just put in Kevin Richardson lions. He goes into the pack. He raises these lions from birth. He gets the little wild lions that are either have no mom, and he raises them up, and then he lets them go back into the wild. And they have like their own pride. And then he literally goes into the pride, and they see him again, and they attack him. They throw him on the ground. They look. He scratches their belly, and he plays with them. They get into fights, and he stops them. He's got one video of him playing soccer with them, and they're chasing the ball. I'm telling you, it will blow you away. Listen, I'm an animal guy, and I was like, this dude's crazy. I'm telling you, he's not long for this earth, this guy. When you play with an animal that can kill you by accident, like, you understand how strong these things are? It's like, oh, sorry, I knocked your head off. Listen, let me explain to you the power of a lion. He could take them two in his mouth and jump 9 feet in the air. That's the power of a lion. And a little child shall lead them. The leopard, the wolf, shall also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And here's my favorite part. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. That's heaven. There's a new order of things, guys. It's going to be a new order. Redemption is for all of creation. Am I teasing you? Am I tempting you yet? Is it yet worth it? when I tell you that the Bible says that the suffering of our present age does not compare to the glory of heaven? And I tell you, hang on, it's worth it. He was telling his apostles this in John 14. Listen to me. Be holy as I am holy. Fight your feelings. Hold back your flesh. I promise you, it's going to be worth it. I promise you. It's just a test. This is all this is. It's a test of the emergency broadcast system. The sound you're about to hear will precede information. This is only a test. And he said to me, do not seal the words. Now, it's a weird thing that happens here. It's like now all of a sudden it's the Lord speaking. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He was unjust, let him be unjust still. He was filthy, let him be filthy still. He was righteous, let him be righteous still. He was holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The Lord reaches into that time and tells John to write these things down. And he says, listen, I have one last word for you. Do it. I got this. Do it. These words are faithful and true. Do it. I will help you. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city, but outside of dogs. Now listen to me, just because I always get these questions. That's not like a dog, bark, 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 and somebody's going, but I want my dog to be in heaven. Don't worry, your dog will be in heaven, I promise you. After my dogs, but your dogs will be there. This is a word for dog. This is a metaphor for somebody who lives like a dog. You know the most disgusting thing about a dog? They do whatever they think or feel. They lick themselves wherever they want to lick themselves, and they don't care who's watching. They eat, they try to mate with. That is a dog. Men are not called to live like dogs. They're called to live like men. To don't do what you feel. He said, outside are dogs. Don't be a dog. You'll wind up outside. Sorcerers. Sexually immoral. Murderers. Idolaters. And whoever loves and practices a lie. The Bible says the devil is a liar and the father thereof. And when you lie, you're speaking from the devil's tongue. Take it from somebody who lied the vast majority of his life to get what he wanted. The truth shall set you free. It's the greatest thing in the world to tell somebody the truth, win, lose, or draw, pain, no pain, and to know it's on the table. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. He says, I sent my angel to all the churches, to anybody who's there, and I say to you, who am I saying this to? The sexually immoral, those who practice lie, the dogs, the sorcerers, the liars, the murderers, the thieves, the criminals. You know what I say to you? Give you water. Come. Come. Take of the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Close your Bible. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Anybody want to tell me? The Spirit is God. Who's the bride? We are the bride. We are Christ's bride. What is it our job to tell those people outside? Come. But what if it costs me my job? Tell them to come. What if it costs you your friends? Tell them to come. What if it costs you your life? Come. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Me and my wife spent the last couple of days in Orlando at a this political slash religious thing. And to hear these men talking, these men on the inside of the things that are going on in D.C., Mike Huckabee, Dennis Prager, this guy, Bob McEwen, all these guys who I never knew who they were, but apparently they were all on the inside, and they're born-again Christians on the inside. If you heard the story about how Mike Huckabee, you guys, who doesn't know who Mike Huckabee is? He's running for president. He was the Arkansas governor. To hear how he got elected as the governor is crazy. And you can come up and ask me later or look it up. They want people in the church to be more civic-minded. There's these billionaires in Texas, and they have found themselves wanting to invest in the future of America. So they fund this organization, and this organization goes and they invite all people in every city. They go from city to city. Every week they're in a different city, inviting all pastors to come and go to this thing. They pay for it. Cost us nothing. I only had to pay for my parking. And they say, don't believe the world. We need you. We need you to tell your congregation to vote. We need you to tell your congregation to run for office. Now, I'm not as civic-minded as they are, especially because I'm a convicted felon. I can't run for no office. But I will be encouraging you to vote. Just the things that they said and the way they described what is going to happen. We as a church are in the crosshairs of the United States government as it exists now. It's going to get bad for us. And you know what I say? Come. God's got this. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. It's so comforting, so powerful, so true. God, we ask you to bless those who would doubt. The Spirit and the bride say, come. God, may the visions of heaven that you gave us today through your word, may they stick in our hearts and minds that give us strength to fight. May we find ourselves leaving our life of sin and entering into real ministry. God, help us that we would know the plan that you have for our lives. We look forward to a city, as your word says that Abraham looked forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. So we look forward to that dwelling in that same city. Help us to receive your word. And God, I do pray for any one person here that has never accepted you as Savior, has never accepted you as Lord, or has been far from you. God, today I pray that your word, it made the seed of faith explode again. Do these things and use us in life or in death to be a part of them. We pray in Christ's glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.